I need to grow in that. I need to keep taking that in that's a lot to take in, you know. Make room for God's love and graciousness. Well, that kind of fits right in with the sermon topic. This morning is the gentleness of God, and in that gentleness is so many things that we can collect. Think of his kindness and his goodness. We've been singing about that. His faithfulness, his mercy, and his love. So we've got a verse that is the core verse for that. Yeah. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and great in loving kindness. The Lord is good to all, and his mercies are over all his works. And I know when I was younger, I would just kind of gloss over that. It's kind of, oh, yeah, you know, of course, we know that. And then you get a little older and you realize this is really important. This God we serve, this is his heart. This is his core. This is who he is. And sometimes religion or even Christianity kind of strays into the attempt to line people up for God by harshness and by threats. I don't think that's the core nature of God. I don't think that that's how he wants to come across primarily. There was a sermon, a famous sermon preached years ago, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. And I confess I haven't read the sermon. I'm sure there's some merciful and kind and gentle parts to it. At least there should be. But, you know, why is it that we remember those titles, but what about the titles that have to do with God being gracious and merciful, slow to anger, great in loving kindness, good to all? I mean, just that little phrase, good to all, no restriction. That reminds me of the verse that says he sends his rain on what? Just the people who do right? The righteous and the unrighteous. Wow. He's good to people that don't even think about him. And his mercies are over all his works. He's provided for everything he's created across the world. He's provided for the animals and the birds and the fish in the sea and the whales and everything, and he's provided for us. His mercy is there. So I think we have a problem. I mean, I see a lot of stuff as I drive my bus. I see a lot of assertiveness, shall we say. And, you know, this human nature of ours, you know, it rises up and wants to assert itself in various ways, whether you're behind the wheel or whether you're on a bicycle even, or whether you're on a skateboard, or whether you're just, you know, being who you are. And I wonder if that aspect of ourselves isn't our greatest downfall in some ways, because when we become so assertive and full of what we want, I think we end up pushing back away from us at God. I think that's part of the problem, is that he just, he's gentle. So if we want to act that way, he's just going to wait. But our challenge is to let go of all that pretense and let him come close. close to us. And he did come close in a historic way as well as a personal way. And the greatest act of God's mercy and gentleness is the cross of Jesus. Ever think about that? The cross of Jesus. As he reaches out to us, as the world in its own way goes astray so many times, and there's so many wars fought, and there's so many atrocities committed, and God weeps over humanity, and then he sends his son Jesus to redeem all that, to pay the penalty of all that, to say, I will cover your sin and forgive you, and in mercy bring you back, humanity, everyone who wants to come back. I have given you a way back. God gently restores us through the cross of Jesus, through his Easter resurrection. We have victory. We need not wallow in our self-pity and pain or assertiveness, self-assertiveness, tantrums, all these kinds of things that we may come up with. No, give it up. Give it up and give it over. Instead, take on the victory of your risen Lord. Yeah, so we see things in what Jesus taught us when he came. He's told these wonderful, merciful, gentle stories, right? Like that son that ran away from home with the inheritance and really mistreated and disrespected his father. And God pictures himself as the grieving father waiting for his son to come back, the prodigal son. The merciful Father. We see Jesus as he is God in man, looking at a funeral procession and a widow grieving over her son who has just died. And God in Jesus is touched and says, arise, I say, come back to life. And he gives the son back to his grieving mother. There is a verse that's always touched me from the time I was young that I think helps to express the nature of our Lord Jesus Christ, from Isaiah 42 and verses 1 through 3. Here's my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations. He will not shout or cry out or raise his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, or I would even say will not break off. And a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. In faithfulness he will bring forth justice. Wow, to me that's quite a description, isn't it? This is the nature of God in Jesus, to not break off the broken reed, the person that's bent over with sorrow, to not say, oh, well, too bad, and give the person a shove. It's not God's nature. It's God's nature to take the hand of the individuals bent over and straighten them up again emotionally, and restore their joy and their heart for life. The real life, huh? The life of God, the life of our Lord. Yeah, smoldering wick he will not snuff out. Someone who's just barely still holding on to faith. You know, I think there's a God. I hope there's a God. You know, I want there to be a God, but I'm not so sure. And he's there seeking to reassure, to take the person by the hand. And come on, you can do it. You can wake up. You can believe. I'm also reminded of the woman caught in adultery. See, here's God in Jesus. What a picture. And there's all these religious people that are saying, hey, Jesus, we caught this woman in the very act of adultery. What do you say? Moses said she should be stoned to death. Ooh. This is a tough one, right? There's justice. Law has been broken. There is payment to be made. We know in the back of our minds that Jesus will pay for that on the cross. And we see the gentleness of God in Jesus come out. And he says, whoever's without sin, cast the first stone. And then he turns to the woman and he says, where are your accusers? They've all left. And then he says, neither do I condemn you. Wow. Words of healing and restoration, gentle words. And I thought to myself, can I apply that to my life? What can I say about my own life? Have you ever had the sense where you are being poked and prodded by the evil one about something you said or did in the past? And God in his gentleness is not the one to harass and harangue and badger us about things in the past that are forgiven, right? That's not God. That's not his gentleness. It's the evil one trying to just keep on poking, keep on attacking, keep on making us feel bad over something that's gone and forgiven. And I thought, well, Jesus stood between this woman and the accusers, and he spoke on her behalf. If I invite Jesus under this duress when I wake up in the middle of the night feeling bad about something that's over with, if I invite Jesus to come and speak on my behalf to the evil one, Lord, would you just take this and say your word to the accuser who is trying to poke and prod me with accusations. It worked that time. I think it works. Just something to put in your little toolkit, your Christian toolkit. You know? Yes, sir. Amen to that. There's another thing for your toolkit. Right on. Every time he pokes and prods this way, you just say, yeah, and you know where you're going is the lake of fire, right? Yeah, thank you. Okay, very good. Yeah, we also have a verse from 2 Peter chapter 2. Verse 9, it says, the Lord is not slow about keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He's patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. So, you know, why is the world just carrying on for 2,000 years after our Lord has come? Well, the Lord is patient. That goes along with his gentleness. He would like as many people as possible to come to faith in him. Sometimes I wonder if that red sunshine in the sky is God gently saying, yeah, come on now, things change, and I'm speaking to you. One way or another, I'm speaking to you, world. I want you to come to me. I mean, there is the quotation of the last days from Peter, isn't there? From what Peter said, in the last days there will be blood and fire and vapors of smoke. Oops. The moon will turn to blood? Well, it kind of looks that way some evenings. You know, there's so many examples. We kind of find what we're looking for. If we're looking for judgment and harshness and punishment, it's there in the Bible. But then we can turn around and we can go, wait a minute, can we also see gentleness and kindness also in the Bible? And then lo and behold, all of a sudden, as we start looking again for those things, we start to see them, don't we? I mean, go back to even our fall in the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve sinned. The soul that sins, it shall die. And we know that is a problem. But we also see God clothing Adam and Eve with animal skins, an act of kindness and gentleness. We also hear God saying to the serpent, you're going to get it, right? I'm sending someone who's going to be a child of the woman who will crush your head. Ooh. Then you have the flood. And God, you know, we have to remember that God gave the world a long time to repent in the days of Noah. I think, doesn't it say he preached for 100 years or something like that? And, you know, he must have been trying to convince the world, and the world just kept going its own way. And then God finally, his patience finally came to an end, and he sent the flood. I imagine if I were God, I might have said, do I really want humanity to carry on? Maybe we could just let Noah and his family live out their days, but not have any more children, and hey, the animals could have a great world to live in, right? And all the animal activists cheer right now, right? So, yeah. But they have to remember they wouldn't be here either. Anyway, we think about Pharaoh and the plagues of Egypt. And we see that as judgment of God. But do you realize that God, first of all, very politely through Moses, just asked Pharaoh to let his people go? He asked, very gently. And then he started, of course, turning up the heat, because he wasn't going to take no for an answer. But God was gentle. And then he didn't back down. I'd like to take a moment for us to reflect on another thing that came to me. So I was going through these various aspects of what we know from the Bible. Jonah came to mind. I thought, well, why am I thinking about Jonah? Usually we kind of concentrate on Jonah's disobedience. He's a prophet and he doesn't obey and he gets swallowed by the whale and, you know, and all that is very dramatic. But I'd like us to stop and think about the end of the story in Jonah 4:2. He explains why he didn't want to carry out his mission. Why? I knew you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger, and abounding in love, and a God who relents from sending calamity. What is Jonah saying? These are not my kind of people. I don't like Ninevites. They're foreigners, and they could be our enemies. In fact, it's the capital of Assyria, and not too long after that, The Assyrians come down, and sure enough, Jonah's right. They wipe out the 10 tribes. So in this instance, the prophet has a problem because he knows what's going to happen. God's going to be kind, gentle, and merciful to people. He doesn't want God to be kind, gentle, and merciful to. Doesn't that kind of makes you chuckle a little bit? It's the prejudice of the prophet, you could say. Now, let's stop and think about that. The next thing that I think I've got a slide that says, should I not have had mercy? I don't know if I put that slide up, Paul. But anyway, God says, should I not have had mercy on this great city and these people who do not know their right hand from their left? Now, the interesting thing is, how many of these people know the God of Israel? I'm sure they had their own favorite gods. How many really knew the God of Israel? But they respected the word of his prophet, and they did repent. You know, there could have been children playing in the streets of Nineveh that grew up that never realized that their lives were spared by the God of Israel. But God still was kind to them. And you've got to wonder today, what happened then was God held back from the disaster, the calamity that he was going to send on the Ninevites. And now you got to wonder, why are we still here? How many times could we have been wiped out as a human race or as a nation or a part of the world? One third of Europe died in the Black Plague. The Mongols came in and wiped out, depopulated much of Eastern Europe. Russian missiles on board ships headed for Cuba. Does that sound familiar? Did God hold that back? Did God in his gentleness and kindness prevent World War III? How many times did he prevent it? Be interesting to know, wouldn't it? God is gentle and kind and patient. Thank you, Lord. Well, I guess that's about it. We come to the end of the presentation, but let us give thanks to God for all the calamities he's held back. See, we think and remember the bad things that did happen, but we don't know what didn't happen. Right? We don't know what he prevented from happening. Thank you, Lord. You know, our Lord Jesus, I'm just going to kind of jump ahead here, Paul, and hope I don't confuse you with all the slides, but Jesus said in Matthew 11:29, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. All of our assertiveness and all of our vaunting ourselves and pushing our way and all that kind of thing, it churns things up. It just stirs up more and more unrest. And Jesus says, learn. Come on. Stop pushing me back. Let my gentleness and my nature enter in and give your soul rest, peace, certainty. Oh, one more thing. How could a gentle and kind Jesus let people do what they did to him? Jesus knew something, and we should know something as well, the same thing. Jesus knew who he was in God. He knew he was God's son. And he also knew that no matter what the people on earth did or tried to do to him, they could not change that. He would always be who God had made him to be, and that would raise him up on the third day and cause him to ascend to heaven, where he's seated on the right hand of God to judge the living and the dead and to return, right? Friends, whatever is done to you or has been done to you in your past, remember who you are. You can remain gentle and kind in the face of all the stuff that people throw at you if you remember who you are in Jesus. Amen? Amen. Shall we just have a prayer and invite the worship team to come for a final song? Lord, help us remember who we are in you. Help us to take hold of your gentleness and practice it and let it shine out all the aspects of your gentleness, kindness, loving kindness, mercy. We pray you will help us be instruments of that good that comes from your heart, and help us exercise the anointing that you have given us, as you have prophetically said to us. Help us be who you have called us to be. We pray in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. May the grace and the mercy and the peace and the rest of God the Father and his Son Jesus Christ and the fellowship of his Holy Spirit be and remain with us all. Amen.